We've sort of limped into a few finals at times, whereas, right now it's there's a buzz around in these corridors anyway.
Tom, to his credit, on that night was in awesome form. He was unstoppable almost in that game, you know. But if we go back to this game here last year when we played against Geelong, I don't think Tom kicked a goal. Actually, I think Cluz had the better of him in that year. So forms, it is relevant because it's there, but it's the next game that's the really important part.
All right, a bit of feedback from two of the key players tonight in the first qualifying final between Port Adelaide and Geelong. Joel Selwood, of course, from the Cats, and Kenny Hinkley, who had a birthday yesterday from the Port Adelaide Football Club. Brad Johnson knows what finals are about. He's been there, he's done that, he's taken all before him, like no man before him or after him. Brad Johnson, our Thursday night specialist. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. How good? Honest footy. We're here, Half. It's pretty exciting, mate. It really is. The week off just really is a build-up. I don't know whether I'm still keen on the week off, but we deal with it, and then we move through to right now, mate. So it's arrived, and it's been a big year. So it's going to be a huge final series. Great matchups to start this series.
Will you interrupt the football tonight to watch King of Swing?
King of Swing's on at 5 o'clock. So
oh,
we're all
o'clock.
Good, I think, Half. Yeah. I think it'll be a great build-up. Tonight we'll get the king up
curtain race,
and then we're away. How good's this going to be? Actually, that's brilliant, Half. And then we'll have just in between we'll be able to celebrate, pop the champagne, and then settle ourselves down for the finals tonight for the Geelong and Port Adelaide.
You're right. 5:09 the king in action tonight. 5:09 check your local guides at the Meadows. So we've had a chance to digest the week that's coming at us, Jono, the four games that are coming at us, because as you said, there's been that weekend off for the teams to sort themselves out. Who do you think the week off advantages out of the four games, or the teams that are playing this week, who do you think it advantages more than most?
Oh, look, they all get a huge advantage from that. You go to the sides that are probably looking for some players to come back in. Is that Richmond in terms of who they can get back into their lineup? Other than that, it's probably the West Coast Eagles who are going to have some key players come back into the lineup off soft tissue. So there's the worry there for the West Coast Eagles, is the fact that they're not coming back off, you know, your shoulder injury or something like that they've copped over a 3 or 4 week period into the lead up to the finals. This is soft tissue. So we can, you know, as you're well aware, that you can train hard and you can do all the things that get yourself mentally right, think, yep, I'm ready to go. But then when it actually hits and that explosiveness goes to that next level in terms of finals footy, then that's the question mark around the West Coast Eagles and their players. But they could benefit the most if they get their players through, because they're serious, serious players for their lineup.
If we go through the game tonight, Port Adelaide and Geelong, look at the teams. Burton, Cleary and Butters come in for Port Adelaide. They're pretty good ins. And Woodcock, Leanett and Bonnet go out. And for the Cats, it's Rhys Stanley and Tom Adkins coming in for Radaglia and Jack Stephen, who was left out of the team. But you go through the lineups themselves, but especially from a Geelong perspective, Jono, there's not too many missing, is there? It's just about as good as they can get, the Cats, with that lineup they got out there tonight.
Yeah, definitely. They're as strong as they can. When you're leaving players like Radaglia and Jack Stephen out of your lineup, then you go pretty well as a footy club. And that's where Geelong sit at the moment. Look, there. For me, we know what Selwood will bring to the table, and we know what Dangerfield and Hawkins will compete against Cleary, which will be a huge huge matchup. We understand that, but it's can Guthrie play a big final now off the back of what has been an unbelievable year? Can Brandon Parfitt continue his good form? So it's those players on the outer edges of the contest for Geelong that are really important now to whether or not they, compete for long enough tonight against Port Adelaide and get a huge win.
I thought the Ryan Burton inclusion was interesting because he's missed a lot of footy this year, and, you know, Riley Bonner's been around for quite some time now, but Burton fit off a fairly significant injury and straight in, pretty much. So just shows what they do think of Ryan Burton internally. I'm just interested, Jono, if both teams play to their best tonight, and it's a big if, but is it just Geelong wins because of their finals experience and what they've been able to do? Or is Port Adelaide's best when they're up and running and their ability to move the ball quickly and all those sorts of things, Is that better than Geelong's best? How do you judge that? Because I find this game really difficult to pick.
No, I think Port Adelaide have been the best team over the entire season. And look, I think they match through the midfield. I know that, you know, what Danger can do, and he can push forward. And that's why it's important, as I mentioned, for Guthrie and Parfitt to really start to sort of stand up in that midfield to allow Danger that flexibility to go forward. Because I think they need to do that against Port Adelaide to put them under some sort of pressure. But through the midfield, Ollie Wines is in good as form as anyone in the competition. Travis Boak in Brownlow medal form throughout this year. And then I think the key to Port Adelaide is their entries inside forward 50. The focus is on Dixon. And yes, he will compete in the air. But I think the ball will be on the ground a fair bit. If I was Port Adelaide, I would do that against the Cats. The ball on the deck is really dangerous for Port Adelaide against Henderson and against Taylor. The guys that are really experienced but yet aren't as agile on the ground anymore. So when you look at Butters and Dersmer and Robbie Gray and how dangerous they are as front and square players, how agile they are once the ball hits the deck and their ability to push through traffic, then I think that's the key for Port Adelaide. They've got to capitalise on ground balls inside forward 50 tonight and really generate their scores from that. Dixon will still kick his two or three. He'll still do what he has to do. But they will double team that. They'll get across the Cats to support. Stewart will support that in the air. It's what they can do on the ground, which is a real danger to the Cats tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Half and I have spoken a lot in recent weeks about Port Adelaide in the midfield and their ability to win the tough ball and to win the finals ball, if you like, with Rockcliffe coming back into good form. Wines has certainly been better in the second half of the year. They're using Gray a little bit more through the midfield. But I feel that that's where a lot of their improvement has come from when it comes to Port Adelaide, recapturing that blistering form from the start of the year. They went through a bit of a lull, but then coming strong again late.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. And then Lysette and Stanley, you think Lysette will be able to compete and create an even matchup there with Stanley. So therefore, it is going to come down to who can obviously win contest a ball, who gets it on the outside with more effect in finals football and can drive it forward. Port Adelaide's defence as well is a really interesting look. You've got Byrne Jones and Hartlett who will continue that run. Houston as well is another one who can play midfield but has been pushed back and pushed out of there, but is a significant player for them. And you go to Trent McKenzie and what he's been able to produce this year coming across from the Gold Coast Suns and really has just, you know, reinvented himself as a footballer under Ken Hinckley. So it's his ability now to stand up in a big final. And you mentioned Ryan Burton as well, Whitey, that, you know, yes, coming back in the lineup, his superior talent, Ryan Burton. And I understand why they have brought him straight back in to the lineup. He's really critical to their structure. And I love the way he goes about his footy. Can he stand up, though, now after a time out of the game against, you know, quality opposition? So he'll be looking to float a little bit more. McKenzie will lock on. Cleary will lock on. Jonas will lock on down there. You need Burton to be able to float, intercept, and get the ball then through handball receives to Byrne Jones, to Hartlett, to the midfielders pushing back to support on the way out.
So if you're Kenny Hinckley tonight, you've had a chance to sit back and reflect on that game where they got mauled earlier in the season against the Cats up north, Jono, and you've had a week off to go through that, dissect it, and plan for this game for a little while now. What are you trying to do in terms of limiting the Cats? Are you stopping at the source, or are you trying to find a way to understand that they'll win their share of ball, because they're a serious footy team, we know, the Cats, and stop the way that it comes inside their forward half, particularly that forward 50 area where Hawkins was so dominant last time?
Yeah, I think you've got to protect, especially around centre bounce, I think is the greatest starting point for this half, because if Geelong get out the front of centre bounce, look out. You know what I mean? They either break to 60 and launch, Danger can kick a goal from there, or they get it in really dangerous positions and structure up really well with Hawkins one-on-one in those situations. Gary Rowan as well, who can compete one-on-one. So I think stopping that out of centre bounce, the 12 o'clock hit, the one that comes out the front, I think is really important early for Port Adelaide. So whether that's the wingers helping control that, whether they do take the risk and have a Byrne Jones come off the back of D50 and try and stop a little bit of that, that is a risk in itself, because you do leave one opponent exposed and open. So yeah, I think that's critical in terms of the way Port Adelaide structure up around centre bounce to restrict that easy flow out from the Cats.
What about down the other end? where in the forward line for the Power. I mean, I kept going back to watching Geelong play through the year and seeing when they played well and when they really struggled. I go back to a game down at Simmons Stadium early in the year when they played Carlton. And Carlton played the three talls and isolated their defenders, their key defenders, one-on-one. And they won that game, Carlton. They ran out of gas late, but they won that game. Port Adelaide are a much better team than Carlton. You've got to find a way, don't you, of separating their defenders? Because every time the ball comes in high and long, they are the best, the Cats, at refolding back and getting in front of the space of that key forward. Of course, Charlie Dixon gets a lot more of the ball than most targets in that forward area. I mean, Laddams can go down and do a job for you there. You've got Marshall, who's that big, tall, mobile forward as well. Do you have to find a way to isolate and take the Geelong defenders away from where the ball's going to be and just have sacrificial roles almost tonight?
I think you've got to play even numbers with them, Harp. I don't think you can have too many come up behind the contest if it is from a Port Adelaide point of view, because Geelong will hold their back six. They always do. They work so well as that collective and they flow as a really good group. They've played a lot of football together now for a number of years. So they know how each other operates. Matty Scarlett, coaches them extremely well in terms of that defensive structure. So I don't think you can allow them to have that extra back behind the ball. I think that really suits the Cats in the way that they like to start their chain of football from D50, that extra, and then off they go. So I'd be keeping even numbers as much as possible, especially in the first quarter. Don't allow the Cats to have that extra one in the early part of the game, because from a Port Adelaide point of view, they've got to compete. They've got to get that ball to ground. Now, you mentioned Laddams and Dixon. They need to be able to do that. Marshall's an interesting one. That Marshall needs to be the worker tonight that actually, you know, links up on the wings and tries to create some movement through that, some marks for himself on some leads in that area of the ground as well, because I think that's critical to helping expose the Cats' defence. If you can get that mark through the wings, through the corridor, then you can get that fast play going and try and expose them with a little bit more speed than they like to sort of, you know, slow you up, control things, get themselves set up, make sure they've got their direct opponents controlled. So I think that's a really important point, Harf, in terms of what you're just talking about. Then the three bigs for Port Adelaide are critical to this, but I think the six Port Adelaide forwards have to consistently match up one-on-one against the Cats defenders, not allow them to get off and compete in the air, intercept without any pressure as well.
I've got one last one for you, Jono, on the Cats. Are we worried at all about their form going in? Now, when we look through their last four matches in the build-up to the final series, they had that game against the Dogs where they finished strongly and won by 11 points but gave up a really, you know, big lead. I mean, the Dogs got out of the blocks and Geelong sort of got over the top in the end. After that, they had the bye. Then they beat Essendon, and when we all talked about how well they played that particular day, it was almost like the perfect game. But then they lost to Richmond, and then they just limped over the line against Sydney. So when you look at their last four, there's only one really good performance in that last four. Is that an issue at all, or is it all about just doing what you need to do to get ready for a final series in that build up?
Yeah, I think we purely just go to the last game they played, Whitey, where they got Salwood back and Ablett back into that lineup, and they got through really well, those two players. So they got their stars back, and yeah, it was a tough game against the Sydney Swans. The Sydney Swans will do that anyway. They're in quite reasonable form in the last three or four games of the season, the Swans. So they finished off really well, and it was always going to be a competitive hit-out. Look, Geelong wouldn't have liked it to go down to a Mark Blitzer smother to save them the game and get them a top four finish. But that's okay. That competitive type hit-out, I think, would really please Chris Scott in the lead-up to what they're going to experience tonight and through this final series anyway. And the fact that Ablett was clean first game back, and now he's had a spell to go again. Salwood did what he had to do. Dangerfield as a forward in the last quarter turned the game for Geelong. So it just gives Port Adelaide other things to sort of think about more seriously around the type of lineup that Geelong have got. So yes, you're right. The 3 or 4 week period was up and down in games and overall throughout that period of time, that month of football. But that last round, they got their class back in. Their class was clean. So they're no doubt ready to go.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be great. We'll talk more about it a little bit later on, John, as we get your selection for that game tonight. The question mark still hangs over Chris Scott, home and away versus finals from the Cats' perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's still that conversation.
It'll be interesting to see Jackson Payne, whether he holds his spot in that lineup alongside Andrews and Darcy Gardner as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's one of Whitey's men.
I think the interesting part about what Jed just said then was that if there was a game last week, Andrews would have played. So that just shows how confident they are that he's okay and that he's obviously recovered from that injury quicker than expected. There just seems to be a calmness. I know Jed is a laid-back sort of guy anyway, but there does seem to be a calmness and a quiet confidence about Brisbane, which perhaps wasn't there last year, which wouldn't be surprising considering they hadn't played finals in such a long time. But considering the fact they haven't won a final, there just still seems to be this inner confidence that their best, particularly at home, is going to be good enough.
I think there's a bit of M&M about them. They're calm on the surface and they're ready, but underneath they'll be nervous as. Don't worry about that.
Vomit on his sweater already, mum's spaghetti.
Already mum's spaghetti. So, especially playing at home, Whitey, you know, that buzz and that energy. Yes, they need to control those emotions, running out, crowd, a home final, expectations. There's all that build-up this year as well for the Brisbane Lions. So I think you're right. On the surface, it does look good. Even listening to Cam Rayner last night in an interview, he looked calm. He was settled in the way that he talks now to the media in how they're approaching the contest this week. But deep down, there'll be a bit going on, I think, in the background for the Brisbane Lions with the expectation and coming off how they didn't perform last year in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think Chris Fagan leads a lot of that too. He's very, very calm, isn't he? Very measured, sets the scene there nicely at the Lions. And they've got great confidence out of what they've been able to achieve in the last couple of years. And I think they will be better. Whether or not it's good enough for the Tigers, we'll see. John, let's have a look at the other two games before we let you go. St Kilda and your boys, the Doggies at the Gabba on a Saturday afternoon, 4:40. Check your local guides. A really good game of footy against two teams who are desperate to stamp themselves as a serious finals contender.
Yeah, that's right. And the Dogs looking to respond from last year's final against GWS. So I think this will be the contest where both teams will clash in more than the other games. I think there'll be that desperation sort of tight final that we love to watch in essence. So, you know, St Kilda will come out hard and physical. The Dogs will try and match that, try and get on the front foot around the contest. So, look, for me, it really is a big matchup with Timmy English in the middle of the ground against Marshall and Ryder. I think that's significant to the outlook of how the contest looks because we know both teams have got some really, you know, significant players through the midfield. The Dogs, all Australians, of course, in Bontempelli and McRae. And Caleb Daniels, a really interesting watch. Last week, the last game the Dogs played, Crozier actually started forward and kicked the goal early in the game. And then Caleb Daniel was sat on from the opposition. And then in the last half, they sort of pushed him forward of centre as well. He kicked the goal. He was actually good with some ball going inside forward 50. So they've created a bit of that flexibility, the Bulldogs, with what they do with Johannesson, with playing on the wing, half back, half forward. So he's flowing through the lines as well. So it's a really big watch in terms of Caleb Daniel and how he can set up the Bulldogs, whether St Kilda put pressure on him through maybe a Jarryn Geary, for example, and then what they do and whether Geary can score on him going the other way, which he has the ability to do as well. And if he does sit on Daniel, whether they do push him sort of more forward or centre, that class of ball use that he does have going inside 50 to Bruce or Wallace, I think is really important to, you know, the Bulldogs being able to score effectively.
They did that against the Blues, didn't they? Geary played on Doherty and kicked a couple of snags at Marvel Stadium earlier in the year. So they have done that before. You've got to bash Tim English, don't you, if you're the Saints? You've got to get Ryder and Marshall just to bash Tim English.
And you've got to try and spread away from him. English has got that ability to get up and down the ground. He's quite athletic. So and you've just got to restrict his intercept or his marking ability. When Tim English takes two or three marks for the game, the Bulldogs look vulnerable. When Tim English takes 8 to 10 marks for a game, he looks Gary Dempsey-like in terms of the way that he gets around the ground, seriously. So, and that sets the Bulldogs up, and they usually win on the back of that. So restricting his marking ability is really, really important. And Richmond did that well against the Bulldogs earlier this year where they just had their ruckman go with him. Soldo went everywhere around the ground, restricted his marks, and Richmond just dominated the Dogs at ground level. St Kilda, you'd think, would be looking to do a similar thing.
What about Saturday night at Optus Stadium in the West Coast and Collingwood game? Jono, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, it's an intriguing battle, this one. It really is. And you just go to the West Coast Eagles at home, the players, they've obviously got back into the lineup. is quite important for them. Yes, they've lost Elliot Yeo for the season, but the remainder of the guys coming back into the lineup are huge players for that footy club. And I think it'd be the similar approach to what Brisbane we just heard have done with like a Harris Andrews. These guys might have been right a week ago, but they've just settled them down, allowed them to do a little bit more training, get their bodies and their soft tissue injuries another week worth of healing, and away they go. So for me, I think West Coast at home, just I think this is going to be another one of those those finals that will go right down to the wire, and I think most will this weekend. But West Coast at home, you just got to favour them.
All right, so let's go through the tips, Jono. You've got West Coast, you've got St Kilda Bulldogs.
Which the Bulldogs.
One? Bulldogs.
I'm going the Dogs. Yes.
Friday night.
Friday night, I'm going the Brisbane Lions at home, and then I'm also going tonight, I'm going the Cats to win over the Power.
All right, there are Jono's selections for week one of the finals. He's our Thursday night specialist. He doesn't get much wrong. So it's King of Swing into the Cats. That's the double tonight, says Jono. Cheeky local guides and markets.
Is. 5:09. This is when the fun starts.
Absolutely. Great to have a chat to you on a Thursday morning. Looking forward to doing it all again next week as well. Appreciate your time, buddy. Go well.
Good on you guys. Have a great weekend.